And now the game where we ask accomplished people about things they never got around to accomplishing. Jeff Garlin is a comedian's comedian, as funny as he is, most especially on HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm. You have to understand, he is making it up as he goes. We do the same thing, of course, but he is really good at it. Jeff Garlin, welcome back to your hometown, Chicago, and welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
Great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So I want to talk to you about Curb Your Enthusiasm, but the reason you're here is you're opening your movie that you wrote and directed.
Yes, yes, I want someone to eat cheese with.
And that's not a statement, that's the title of the movie.
It's a statement, and it's a statement that bothers Larry David because it ends in a preposition.
Really?
Yeah.
And he gives you a hard time about it?
He really wanted me to change it so bad every day. You can't do that. It's just hanging there. You can't do that.
I want someone with whom to eat cheese.
Yes. He wanted me to call it that, and I said, if I call it
whom?
That, I'm a jerk. It's just the lamest title ever.
Larry David.
I want someone with whom I can eat cheese.
Oh, pray tell, where shall be that person with whom I can eat my cheese?
Yes, that's what you'd think everybody would be like in the movie if the title was like that.
Larry David, of course, is the star and your partner in Curb Your Enthusiasm and HBO.
Yeah.
But this movie that you've made, it is about, to summarize, it's about an overweight Chicago comedian who works at Second City, lives with his mom, and is basically a complete loser. Pretty much. He's not. All right. Okay, you're disagreeing. Well, in the movie, he's fired. He quits his job.
Yeah,
fired from other jobs.
Yeah,
he
has trouble with his job.
Yeah.
He has trouble with women, particularly Sarah Silverman.
And who doesn't have trouble with her?
Yeah. And then he deals with it through the magic of food. Not drugs or alcohol or cigarettes, but food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to say, where'd you get this crazy idea?
Well, what's funny is that the only thing that's actually autobiographical in terms of the movie is my experiences with food.
Really?
And in the movie, I even parked my car by Wrigley Field in the middle of the night by the left field wall on Waveland and eat junk food. To shove down the feelings as quick as possible. And I used to do that, the same exact spot where I filmed it.
Really?
It felt a lot better filming it because it was pretend.
Yeah. You weren't actually depressed and having to do that.
I even had a spit bucket. You know, I had a thing.
You could actually spit out the junk food.
Spit out the junk food. I didn't even eat it.
And, wow.
Was the food better?
No, it was actually worse.
Really?
Because we couldn't afford to use the labels of the good junk food. So it was like this generic, crappy junk food.
Oh, Wendy's.
Let's talk a little bit about Curb Your Enthusiasm. What I guess most people know about it, but it's still surprising if you watch it because it's so good and so sharp, is that it is in fact improvised, right?
Yes, there's an outline that Larry writes. Usually your average sitcom script is like 35 pages. Ours are 7 pages.
Right.
So we fill it in. You know,
so give me a sense of what would the outline for a given scene say?
Let's say there's a scene right here about me being a guest. Jeff sits down and he discusses his movie, and then he gets very angry and storms off because someone from the audience shoots a spitball at him.
And that's like the whole description.
That's the whole description. So what we say, we're making up.
Yeah.
The person would know they shoot the spitball, they'd probably get a cue from the director. It's an absurd scene. But can you imagine one of you with a spitball?
I love that.
It's just so unlike this audience.
Yeah.
They're
very well behaved.
I just was, look at me, I'm a genius improviser. So it shoots a spitball, and then it hits me, and then I storm off. How I did that, how I ripped off my headphones, what we say, what you guys might say, how that person would react, it all, we all make that part up.
Yeah.
So.
And how many times does it take to get it right?
There's never, I mean, certainly it goes quicker if it's a scene where with just Larry and I and nobody else. We don't rehearse,
right.
And we just shoot lots of different angles. We have two cameras going at once. And we just sort of move around, and you know, so it takes a while. It takes us about 7 days to film one 30-minute episode.
Right. Wow.
Do you crack yourself up though? Sometimes you know.
Do I crack myself up? Yes, I am very witty.
No. I don't mean that. I mean occasionally I've managed to get myself in laughing jags where I can't stop laughing.
No, only one person does that, and that's Larry David. I rarely laugh. Susie Essman, Cheryl Hines, none of us really laugh. Although we're having a great time, we rarely laugh. He explodes with laughter and can't stop. I remember one scene with Jason Alexander that took place during the day with plenty of time to shoot it. We did not shoot it until pretty late at night because he couldn't stop laughing. I mean, we were there for at least 3 extra hours because he was laughing so hard, which is it's pretty funny.
Wow.
But it wastes my time, and I want to get home.
Yeah, I understand. You're just totally impatient.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Jeff Garland, we are delighted to have you here with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Ooh, Wicked Roquet. Well played, good fellow. Well played.
What did he just say? I have no idea.
It's a little surreal.
But should I tell you something?
Tell me something.
I have no idea what he just said, but I loved it.
He said a wicked roquet. Roquet, of course, is a term from croquet. And by croquet, right, we do not mean the namby-pamby game played in backyards by young children and drunk adults. No.
No, you mean laser croquet.
Yes. No, we're talking about the real game, the version of croquet that was, for example, an Olympic sport in 1900 and is still played competitively in Palm Beach, Florida, and other places with flat lawns and wealthy people. We're going to ask you 3 questions about the gentleman's game of croquet. Get 2 right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl's voice and their home answering machine.
There is no chance in hell.
Really?
I'm going to say this ahead of time. I played the little boy version in the backyard.
No, this is a serious game.
Okay, let's go.
Who is Jeff Garland playing for?
Jeff is playing for David Peretz of Manchester, New Hampshire.
Here's your first question. As you can imagine, Jeff, an intricate sport like croquet has its own language. Which of these is a real term that a croquet play-by-play commentator might use?
Is this where sticky wicket comes from?
As a matter of fact, sticky wickets come from croquet.
Okay.
You might have just given away answer 3.
That might have been question 3.
I know.
No, that was not question 3.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go.
Here's the question.
Dirty.
Okay.
Imagine, if you will, that croquet play-by-play commentator, he or she might use one of these
I'm picturing
terms.
Fred Willard. Keep going.
Me too, actually.
Yeah.
All right. He might use one of these terms. Which one is it? Is it A quadrangular boffin?
Mm-hmm.
B, the Von Schmider sweep?
Mm-hmm.
Or C, a wickety bin-bin?
Oh, those are great.
Wow.
What was the first one again?
First one was a quadrangular boffin.
Oh, don't do
that. I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with a quadrangular boffin?
Yes, I'm going with A.
Do you have any idea what a quadrangular boffin might be?
Of course I do.
What is it?
I'm not going to tell you.
All right.
But I know. Oh, do I know?
No, actually, it was the Von Schmider sweep.
Darn it.
I'm going to read you what
German.
That sounded
you know
what's
so funny when you said that? I said someone wrote Von Schmider's sweep.
Yeah.
I think that, you know who wrote it? Von Schmider.
Yeah.
He was one of the first players, and he said, my sweep is fantastic, and from now on, when that exact sweep happens, they will remember me.
It cleans better than a Roomba.
I'm actually told it's the Von...
much better than a Roomba.
Absolutely. I'm corrected. It's the Von Schmieder sweep. The Von Schmieder sweep.
Then I should really get that.
No.
He would have known the Von Schmieder sweep.
I'm sure
it
you're wondering...
It sound as fakey.
I'm sure you're wondering what it is. To quote from a guide to croquet, it's, quote, a novel stroke played in a hoop-bound ball when it lies about 9 to 14 inches directly behind the hoop. The ball is believed to be pulled in towards the striker rather than travel along the tangent to the sweep.
I cannot wait to get involved in this sport.
I know, it's great.
Okay.
All right, next question. You might think it's a genteel game, but recently croquet played part in a major scandal in England. What was it? Was it A senior Anglican minister was removed from his pulpit when he was revealed to have bet thousands of dollars on his own games? Was it B, the deputy prime minister of the nation had to give up use of a government building when he was photographed playing croquet there, rather than running the country? Or C, 3 members of the national team were found to be using a banned substance, namely, they were chugging Red Bull?
I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A, the Anglican minister, betting thousands of dollars on illicit croquet games.
Yes.
No, it was actually B, the deputy prime minister, getting in trouble. John Prescott was his name. He had to give up his government-provided country house after photos were published of him playing croquet rather than attending to official business. He blamed his staff, unsurprisingly. He said, quote, they say, can we play croquet? I can't reply, sorry, you can't play croquet. It's against my ideological position. Last question.
Okay.
In Europe, croquet has been growing in popularity thanks to some novel promotional events, including which of these that was announced by Britain's Channel 5 TV, A, strip croquet, in which the players... who start in Victorian garb, remove one garment for each wicket scored by an opponent. Ooh. B, full contact croquet, in which players are armored and allowed to hit each other with the mallets. Or C, a match between a team of 5 rich people against a team of 5 poor people.
What is A again?
A is strip croquet.
Mm.
Strip croquet.
But it's televised.
Yes.
That eliminates A, so I'm going with C.
You're going to go with C, rich people versus the poor?
Yes.
You're right, sir. Well done.
Thank you.
The idea of the show
is I can take that with me back to California.
You can take that back. Carl, how did Jeff Garland do in our quiz?
Not very well, Peter. he had just one correct answer, and that's bad news for David Peretz.
Well, I wouldn't put it that badly.
Yeah, Carl, you said it really broke
it's
it up.
Bad news.
It's a disaster for our listener. It's
well, you don't know what his
it's
life
a black
like.
Day for
if
David.
If his life is just so idyllic and perfect, this could be the worst thing ever.
That's true.
That's nice.
Let this be the worst thing that ever happens to him.
That ever happens to him.
Jeff Garland is a comedian and an actor. He's the star of HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm. His new movie that he directed and wrote and stars in is called I Want Someone to Eat Cheese With, or as we might say in public radio, I Want Someone with Whom to Eat Cheese.
Yes.
is opening around the country. Jeff Garland, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you very much.
For joining us.
Thank you.